With nearly 5,000 specialists dedicated to supporting dealer financial services, Ally has the expertise to help you with your retail finance, F&I, and remarketing needs. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Monday, April 22nd, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, executive editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, the UAW wins its first foreign-owned plant in the South in a landslide. Cornell labor expert Arthur Wheaton joins the show to talk about the UAW's big victory in Chattanooga and what comes next.
It's surprising when you let people vote. They say, gee, do you want to vote for something that'll get you better pay and better benefits? Are you interested? And the answer is, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Plus, Tesla registrations tumble in February while EV competitors make gains. And dealers raise concerns about how Scout and Sony Honda Mobility will sell vehicles. Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Workers at Volkswagen's plant in Chattanooga have voted overwhelmingly to join the UAW. It's a potentially industry-altering move that represents a breakthrough in the union's long-running crusade to organize transplant automakers in the southern U.S. According to the National Labor Relations Board, the UAW claimed victory with more than 2,600 votes in favor and 985 opposed. The NLRB still needs to certify the results. The union's victory comes after two failed attempts this past decade to organize the plant in Tennessee. It gives VW its first UAW-represented facility in the U.S. since closing its assembly plant in Westmoreland, Pennsylvania in 1988. More on this story with Cornell's Arthur Wheaton in a few minutes.
As Tesla goes, so goes the U.S. electric vehicle market. S&P Global Mobility says Tesla's new registrations fell 25% in February compared with a year earlier, dragging the broader EV segment into the red. The S&P data does not include used vehicles or hybrids. The last time Tesla's U.S. vehicle registrations suffered a monthly decline was in August 2020 with a 2% drop. That was also the last time new EV registrations as a whole fell in the U.S., with a 6% decline. Total EV registrations fell almost 3% in February. Electric vehicle share of the U.S. light vehicle market fell to 6.2%. That's down from 7% a year earlier. But the news wasn't all bad. February registrations for EVs from Ford, Hyundai, Kia, BMW, and Rivian rose sharply from a year ago. We'll have more on the latest EV registration data on tomorrow's show.
If demand is softening in the U.S. for EVs right now, that's not deterring companies from making big investments here. Japan-based EV battery maker AESC Group is nearly doubling its investment in a South Carolina factory. It will devote $1.5 billion to an outlay that it says will create more than 1,000 jobs. The expansion of the plant in Florence County follows an initial announcement in December 2022 that AESC would spend $810 million to build a 30 gigawatt hour plant there to supply BMW's next generation EVs built at the German automaker's nearby factory.
And a group of state dealer associations is pressing Honda and Volkswagen not to sell planned electric vehicles from Scout and Sony Honda Mobility in the U.S. outside of the franchise dealer system. The Automotive Trade Association executives addressed the issue in a full-page ad in the April 15th issue of Automotive News. John Devlin is the group's chairman and CEO of the Pennsylvania Automotive Association.
You know, after 2 years of asking, and getting nothing, frustration is very high. If they want to sell these direct, it's going to be a battle and a slog. It's going to be incredibly difficult.
Scout plans to start production of an electric body-on-frame utility vehicle and pickup in 2026. Honda and Sony's Afila brand, will start production of a sedan in 2025, with U.S. sales starting in 2026. And those are today's headlines. Jamie, UAW wins at VW in Chattanooga. Does this put other foreign automakers in the South on alert?
It kind of does, because they had never won before. I mean, it's like there have been so many attempts. A lot of times they couldn't even get a vote. They've gotten votes and they've always come up short. It was like, you know, Charlie Brown and Lucy with the football, but Charlie Brown got to kick a good one and, you know, it's going to be heading to Mercedes next. I do think it's a little bit interesting that they're starting with these plants that are really standalone. You know, VW has just the one plant here in the U.S. Mercedes has only one. I suspect they will get stronger pushback from the companies that have multiple brands. Could be a big test down the road at that Toyota plant in Missouri that the UAW has their eyes on.
Gotcha. And speaking of the UAW's win, coming up, Cornell University labor expert Arthur Wheaton joins the show to talk about the UAW's historic victory in Chattanooga. That's next on Daily Drive.
For over 100 years, Ally has helped dealers like you serve your customers by providing the best-in-class products and services you need and by remaining true to the automotive passion we share. Your dedicated Ally account executive will work hand-in-hand with you to help you gain efficiencies, increase your product offerings, and work to improve per-vehicle revenue, because we care about your business as much as you do. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. Over the past year, the words UAW and historic have paired together over and over again. Now the union can notch another historic win in its belt. After two previous failed attempts, workers at VW's Chattanooga plant voted overwhelmingly to unionize and join the UAW. It's now the union's first foreign-owned plant in the South after decades of attempts to extend its reach beyond the Detroit Three. Arthur Wheaton is the Director of Labor Studies at Cornell University. He joins me now to talk about the UAW's win and what comes next in Chattanooga and beyond. Art Wheaton, welcome back to Daily Drive.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Big news on Friday night. Workers in Chattanooga last week voted pretty overwhelmingly to be represented by the UAW. That's the union's first win at an auto assembly plant in the South. Art, was it a surprise?
It wasn't a surprise, but I was pleasantly surprised by the amount of the win. So they won by a bigger margin than I expected, but I did expect them to win.
They had been so close before. Of course, some fewer headwinds now, the tailwind of the big contract in Detroit last year and not having the cloud of scandal really hanging over the union leadership like it was before. I guess that sort of made it, they should have been able to win, but gosh, the UAW had been like the Washington Generals, you know, going through the South and just losing vote after vote. It was maybe not a surprise, but still a historic turn to actually get a win.
It's surprising when you let people vote. They say, gee, do you want to vote for something that'll get you better pay and better benefits? Are you interested? And the answer is, yeah, that sounds pretty good. But a lot of times there's voter suppression or some sort of anti-union tactics. And I think those were a lot more muted this time than 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different approach from VW, it seemed like. So what should we be looking for in these contract negotiations? What kind of wages and benefits are a high priority? And I guess the big thing to me is, do we expect a strike? You know, last year in Detroit, it was really a kind of a foregone conclusion that there would be at least one strike. Do we expect that in Chattanooga?
It always takes two to tango. If VW comes to the table knowing that they have to come close to matching the pattern, then there won't be a strike. If they come in trying to be cheap and be as, you know, give as small of an increase as possible, then yes, there could be a strike. And GM, Ford, and Stellantis learned the hard way that yes, the UAW is serious, and yes, they are willing to strike if necessary. And the overwhelming victory of the number of people voting for the UAW showed a significant amount of strength.
You would expect the UAW to seek to really extend the pattern and not just start with a like a clean slate, kind of really say, hey, here's our framework that we worked out with three of your competitors last year. You should give us something very close to this.
I think that's the opening salvo. I think that's where you start. And I don't think you want to start making VW pay more than they pay at the others, but you also don't want to start at a discount. Why shouldn't you go for what you've successfully negotiated in three other direct competitors in the same market? And it makes sense. And I think they should come pretty close, and they're willing to back it up if they have to.
Yeah. And I would assume VW will argue that the cost of living in Chattanooga is not as high as in, you know, Metro Detroit or maybe even Cleveland, some of the other areas where the UAW has factories.
But the cost of living is not that different than what it is in Spring Hill, Tennessee, which pays the same pattern bargaining for General Motors, or for Louisville, Kentucky, for what Ford pays for their big truck. So it's not, there are many UAW plants in the South. It's just not a foreign-owned automaker in the South.
Do we know the timeline? When should we expect negotiations to start?
They have to wait 5 days until the NLRB, see if there's any kind of people trying to have an appeal or trying to say the vote wasn't fair or there was a problem with the vote. So they always wait 5 days. Then they go into bargaining. Bargaining first contracts is notoriously difficult. It can take up to 2 years or never. So you've got 350 Starbucks that have voted yes for a union, and it's been a couple years, and they've got exactly zero contracts. So a lot depends on how the employer wants to do it. With VW having every other assembly plant in the world unionized, it would make sense not to drag it out.
So probably before there can be a contract in Chattanooga, there will be another organizing vote, this one at the Mercedes-Benz plant in Vance, Alabama, near Tuscaloosa. The VW win would appear to give the UAW a lot of momentum in Alabama, don't you think?
I would think so, but I'm not quite as confident for Vance, Alabama, primarily because the last two votes for VW were like 47% and 48%. So they only had to increase by 3% from what their original vote was. I don't have the same sort of benchmarks to see what the actual level of support is in Vance, Alabama, but I would think that they would have a decent chance. But if things were going smooth, they wouldn't have had to sue Mercedes-Benz in Germany for up to $1 billion for interfering with elections. So it's not been quite as smooth in Vance, Alabama.
Stepping back a little, what do you think that the UAW's win in Chattanooga says about the state of labor in America in the 21st century?
I think you've seen a lot of gains for labor in America. I think you've seen historic highs for the level of public support. So Gallup has it the highest it's been since the 1960s. We may not be at the absolute peak, but it's been a while since we've been this high of the public support for unions, more than 2-1. And if you see, you know, the big gains that are being made, whether it's from SAG-AFTRA or the Teamsters at UPS, or whether it's the airline pilots got great deals, John Deere tractor got fantastic deals. So you can just go down the list and seeing that people are saying, you know what, I kind of like having a little more job security and a little bit better pay and benefits. And a lot of that's caused because of the high cost of living increases that we've seen. So because we've had the inflation and because it's been COVID, people are kind of fed up. And I think the issue many people are trying to or don't think about, it's time off. That all of that COVID and being, you know, locked in your house gave people a very different expectation of that work-life balance, or balance between work and life, is really important for people.
We were just talking on the show over the weekend about Elon Musk's pay package that's going back before shareholders to reauthorize issuing $56 billion worth of stock options. I wonder how much the rise of the billionaires and the trillion-dollar company plays into the union movement, the labor movement in America.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. It's the robber baron era all over again. So if you go back to around 1900 and the Carnegies and, you know, JP Morgan and all these other folks that were just raking in the money so hand over fist, and everybody else is trying to starve and get by and making a living. And I think that's the way people are feeling. Even though the economy is much better than it was back then, they're still gee, you got enough money to go fly to Mars and fly to space and, you know, go do all these other things. We can't even buy bread. So give us a break.
Yeah, definitely. Some folks looking for a union to help balance out the power, give them some power to negotiate and not just feel like price takers.
Yeah, but the problem we have is I think they could vote for a union. I think they could actually win an election for Tesla, but I don't know that they'd ever get a contract at Tesla because Elon Musk doesn't seem to mind that he's getting boycotted in the Scandinavian countries like Norway and Sweden and sympathetic strikes. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't collect a bargain.
Lots of interesting stories to follow. I'm sure we'll keep in touch. Arthur Wheaton is Director of Labor Studies at Cornell University's School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Thanks again for joining me, Art.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News executive producer Jake Neer, as well as our own Michael Martinez, Jack Walsworth, Lawrence Iliff, Hans Greimel, and Carly Schaffner for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on UAW organizing in the South, retail, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for a deeper look at the latest EV registration numbers and what they tell us about the state of electrification in the auto industry. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.